From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a study of the book of Romans. In the opening verses of the epistle, Paul defined the gospel of Christ as the gospel of God. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, this gospel was not a product of man, but was given directly by God. God is the substance and the supreme end of it. Any message that differs from this is not the gospel. Contrary to the notion that Paul preached two different gospels, the uniform testimony of the Bible is that there is only one gospel. As we'll see, all of the apostles were unanimous in their agreement on this. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called The One and Only Apostolic Gospel. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, What to Leave Children. The text is Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Anxiety about our family is natural, but we shall be wise if we turn it into care about our own character. If we walk before the Lord in integrity, we shall do more to bless our descendants than if we bequeath them large estates. A father's holy life is a rich legacy for his sons. The upright man leaves his heirs his example, and this in itself will be a mine of true wealth. How many men may trace their success in life to the example of their parents? He leaves them also his repute. Men think all the better of us as the sons of a man who could be trusted, the successors of a tradesman of excellent repute. Oh, that all young men were anxious to keep up the family name! Above all, he leaves his children his prayers and the blessing of a prayer-hearing God. And these make our offspring to be favored among the sons of men. God will save them even after we are dead. Oh, that they might be saved at once! Our integrity may be God's means of saving our sons and daughters. If they see the truth of our religion proved by our lives, it may be that they will believe in Jesus for themselves. Lord, fulfill this word to my household.
Yeah.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. This and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Alan Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. The gospel is not in its substance a statement of human duty. It's God's gospel. It's a statement about God. It's a statement of God's purpose, of God's action, of God's provision for guilty sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ, without any merit whatsoever on their part. A minute ago I said something that I disagreed with in the dispensational notion of different gospels. Glad to be able to quote the father of the dispensational school, John Nelson Darby. J.N. Darby, in his synopsis of the books of the Bible, is speaking about the gospel of God, and he says something that I was delighted to read. He says he calls it the gospel to which he was set apart, the gospel or the glad tidings of God. The Holy Ghost presents it in its source. It is not, says Darby, it is not that which man ought to be for God, nor yet the means by which man can approach him on his throne. It is the thoughts of God and his acts, we may add, toward man. His thoughts and goodness, the revelation of him in Christ his Son. He approaches man according to that which he is and that which he wills in grace. God comes to him. It is the gospel of God. This is the true aspect. The gospel is never rightly understood until it is to us the gospel of God, the activity and revelation of his nature and of his will in grace toward man. And I agree with Mr. Darby down the line there. It's a great statement. It is the gospel of God. Thus the gospel of God and of his grace reveals both the righteousness of God that delivers believers from the wrath of God according to the righteous judgment of God, and it secures those believers to enjoy the glory of God for all eternity. It is the gospel of God. He's its substance and he's its supreme end. Why did God give us the gospel? You ever ask yourself that? Why did God give the gospel? Why did God send his Son to die? Oh, we may glibly say, to save us from our sin, and that is true. I say we may glibly say it because we too often say that without thinking through the end of the story. But why would God want to save guilty sinners from hell? Why would he want to do it? He doesn't need to do it. When the angels fell, what did God do to save fallen angels? Nothing. Nothing. God never moved a finger to save a fallen angel. So why would he save man? The answer is his own glory. His own glory. Nothing more glorifies God. There's nothing in all the creation in this universe, nothing among all the heavenly bodies, nothing in the angelic creation, nothing in heaven itself that so glorifies God and his wisdom as the work that he has done through Jesus Christ in saving guilty sinners. Romans 11:36 says, of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. He's the supreme end of this gospel. When you get to the very end of the book of Romans in chapter 16, verse 25, having expounded and expounded and expounded and expounded until he had come to the very end of his exposition, how does Paul finish it all up? Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the command of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for obedience to faith, to God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. This is the gospel of God. He is its source, its substance, and its supreme end. Third, this gospel is witnessed by the unanimous testimony of Christ's apostles. As I pointed out, when Paul says it's my gospel, he doesn't mean it's mine as distinct from the other apostles' message. It's mine in perfect unity with the rest. So that liberal construction of the Tubingen school is a satanic lie. Paul and Peter preached the same Christ and the same gospel. They didn't disagree at all. Second, you'll have heard a lot about the so-called disagreement between James and Paul. Right? It's purely imaginary. J. Gresham Machen was right when he summed it up and he said that the works that Paul condemns are not the works that James commends. And the faith that James condemns is not the faith that Paul commends. In other words, they are speaking of different things. There's no disagreement between them. But there's actually something more here. I was fascinated to read a finding of Bishop Lightfoot, who noted that in the days of the apostles, the Jewish rabbis in their various writings made great use of the Old Testament statement concerning Abraham's faith being accounted to him for righteousness. And they were working this into their whole theory of human merit. And Lightfoot, I think his investigations were very, very fruitful, because they point out a very important thing, that Paul and James were opposing different Jewish errors on the general subject of merit. They were not correcting a distortion of the other apostles' teaching about the gospel. In other words, Paul was not correcting how somebody was distorting James's message. James was not correcting what somebody was distorting about Paul's message. Each of them was correcting how the Jews, in different ways, were distorting the Old Testament truth that God counted Abraham's faith to him for righteousness. When you read Paul, what's he opposing? He's opposing the Jewish notion that justification is on the ground of personal obedience to the law. That it was on the ground of being circumcised. The Jewish rabbis had a theory, they had a doctrine, that Abraham sat at the gate of hell to prohibit anyone of the circumcised from ever entering into hell. That's the kind of thing that Paul was opposing. That justification is on the ground of human merit or a mere external connection to the church of God on earth. When you go on with me in this book of Romans, he is so powerful in that exposition that the Jewish objector comes back in chapter 3 and says, what advantage then is it to be a Jew? If what you say is true, where's the advantage in being a Jew? They couldn't get over this thought that salvation was by merit or by the mere fact of their being a Jew. That's what Paul was combating. He's saying it's not by works. Works don't enter into procuring your righteousness. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Now James, on the other hand, was opposing the idea that what was able to justify, the faith that justified, was a mere doctrinal assent to the great orthodoxy of Judaism, namely that God is one. In James 2:19, he makes that clear. He says, you believe. In other words, he's defining their faith. You believe that God is one. The idea is you think because you believe that. You're a Jew. You believe that. Therefore, you must be justified. You've heard you're justified by faith. You've heard the rabbi say that Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness. You believe this. You have faith. Therefore, you're justified. Even though your belief has no effect whatsoever on your life. Even though you live in sin and selfishness. Just because you believe God is one and you can recite the great creed of Deuteronomy chapter 6, you think you must be saved. That's why he says the devil believes. The devils have no doubt as to an orthodox theology. The devil believes that God is one. But it doesn't save him. You see, there's no distinction. There's no disagreement between either Peter and Paul or James and Paul. I don't want to get into the details of the theory I've already criticized somewhat, but the claim that Paul preached a different gospel from the other apostles is spurious. The claim that the other apostles kept on preaching a gospel of the kingdom while he had received the great secret, the mystery, as it's expounded, for example, in the prison epistles, especially in Ephesians and Colossians, or the theory of E.W. Bullinger and the greatest dispensationalists, I mean greatest in the sense of the most consistent, that Paul himself preached the gospel of the kingdom right up to the end of the book of Acts. And only after that did God let him into the real secret about the church, and then he started preaching a different gospel. It has no basis in Scripture. Many reasons for saying that. It's inconceivable, totally inconceivable, that the Lord would leave a major portion of the New Testament church without this truth of the, that is fundamental to what, according to what we're told, to New Testament Christianity. It's impossible to believe that God is working out two eternally divergent purposes for Israel and the church, and never the twain shall meet. So I say I'm delighted that there are many brethren in the dispensational camp who are coming away from this. The progressives. I don't know how far they've progressed, and I don't say that sarcastically. I just don't know where it's going to end. But I wish them well in their journey. And I hope they keep on journeying. And if they keep on journeying, they'll soon be right beside me in covenant theology. Paul never preached any gospel but the one he's preaching here.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.